Hello, I'm Mike Salem. It's a privilege to share with you my dad, Pastor Salem's biblical teachings each week. In Dad's message today, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, Dad highlights the seventh and final cry by Jesus on the cross. We hope it will be of encouragement to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so happy every week when we can come and you open your doors for us and we can come into your place and we can worship you. And we all over the world, we gather together at the feet of Jesus. And isn't that a wonderful time? And I just want to tell you that we're going to preach about the cross today. We did last week, that is. And today we're going to talk about Jesus on the cross and the seventh saying that he gave, and that is when he talked about, into thy hands, Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. And then the next Sunday's Palm Sunday. And so we're going to talk about Jesus and how he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's a glorious story of the risen Christ. And then on the next Sunday is Easter Sunday, high tide for the church year, when we talk about Jesus who was dead for 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the resurrection day, he came from the grave, and he lives and he'll live forever, the wonderful risen Christ. So that's kind of our program. Now, before our message today, I want to read just a few of our letters. We get so many nice letters, and I hope that you'll write, and I hope you'll send a gift. And I just want, right off the bat, I want to tell you that we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that is they audit our books, and they drive us crazy. They're into every little nook and cranny, and they every penny we take in and every penny we spend, and it's all above board, and we're proud of it, and praise God. The Evangelical Council, Financial Accountability. Well, here's the first letters from Windom, Minnesota, and I just love this letter. Now, this is a lady, she says, I live at Pine View Assisted Living here in Windom, Minnesota. There are nine ladies, and we listen to your program. Today you spoke about Psalm 23. At our place, we have devotions. We talked about how personal Psalm 23 is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I'll be satisfied. There are 17 personal pronouns, more than enough. I had them count them and put their hand on their heart as they say each one. Before we go to bed, we sing hymns and brighten the corner where you are. We go over the Sermon on the Mount. And isn't that just a beautiful letter for these ladies? And I'll tell you what they're doing. They're studying this, that month, that particular month. We have a little Bible study, and it was on the 23rd Psalm. And every month, we have another Bible study. And now this month of March, we're talking about the mature Christian. Are you a grown-up Christian, or are you still a baby Christian? And it's free and postpaid. So get your pencil and paper. At the end of the service, I'll tell you how you can get it free of charge. And look at what she says here. There are 17 personal pronouns in the 23rd Psalm. She knows more about this psalm than I do. I should have had her write that devotional. God bless them. And they put their hand in their heart and they thank God for all of those blessings. Isn't that nine ladies? God bless them. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to shake their hand and we're going to get to meet them. And it just will be a joy to see them. I can't see them. They can see us. And I don't know if that does anything for them or not. But at least we'll get to see each other when we get to heaven. Here's from Colorado Springs, Colorado. My grandson is visiting from Norway, and we listen to your program. My daughter in Norway gets you on the internet. Thanks for not retiring. I'm 86 and still working. And so here we hear from this people there in Norway, and they're worshiping with us on every Lord's Day. Isn't that wonderful? And look at the one in the next one I've got. McDowell, Queensland, Australia. Australia. I had Kent look this up, and it's 8,400 miles to McDowell, Australia. And this is what they write. They say, thank you for preaching the truth about our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please also consider preaching about the necessity of the Holy Spirit in us in our daily walk with the Lord. God bless you. Well, you know, I'm going to do that. It takes us a little time because we have to do up our service ahead of time so it can go to different countries and be put in different languages. And so on July 15th, we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. And it'll bless you. I just know it will. Well, maybe you don't even want a blessing. We'll give you one anyway. So how can you beat that? One more, and this is Motesville, West Virginia. I'm an 84-year-old widow who now lives with my 88-year-old brother who came a widower a year ago. He was raised on a farm, and listen to this, he was raised on a farm and he can't even boil an egg for himself. No joke, that's true. And we listen to your program every Saturday at 5 p.m. He kept after me, wanted me to send you some money. Well, we finally got it done. May God continue to bless you. He's certainly been good to us. So here's a brother and a sister, and they're living together. And this poor guy, he can't even boil an egg. Well, I'm telling you, he's all right, though, because he may not know how to boil an egg, but he knows that it costs money for us to put on these programs, and he tells his sister, send him some money. So I'm on his side on this one. And so we need to have you help us with our, because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And I'll tell you how you can do that. Just get your pencil and paper and then be sure, don't go off to sleep or something, because we'll need you and talk to you. So we're going to give you the address a little bit later, and then maybe you can write us a letter. But now today we're looking at this saying of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Jesus made seven cries or seven sayings. The first words he gave were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's praying for those who are crucifying him. And then the second thing he cries and he says, his word is to the dying, trusting thief. Remember, there were two thieves. One trusted Jesus and one didn't. And to the one that trusted Jesus and put his faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, that very day, the moment he dies, he's going to be with the Lord in heaven in paradise. And then the third one, he thinks about his mother. Jesus is on the cross. He's going to die in just a few moments now. But he's thinking about his mother, and he entrusts her to John's keeping. And he says, Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. And so this Jesus thinks about his mother while he's on the cross. And then the fourth cry in the Lord Jesus Christ is the saddest cry of all seven. It breaks your heart. And this is what Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was forsaken by God. I heard a man preach one time. He preached, God didn't really forsake him. He just thought so. No, he forsook him. He turned his back on his own son. And you know why as well as I do. He had our sins. And God can't countenance sins even if it's in his own son. And then he goes to the fifth one. And it's just as it comes out of, it's the shortest one. And it is human need. And he says, I thirst. And he did that because there was a prophecy that he was going to say that in the Psalms. And so he's saying it now. They forgot to do offering that, the vinegar. And so he reminds them. So everything is fulfilled on the cross. And then the sixth one is, he said, it is finished. And it's a cry of victory. And he's talking about the salvation of our precious soul. It is finished. Then he comes to the seventh, the one we want to look at today. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. When Jesus uttered that cry on the cross, he was just about ready to leave this world. And he had been put to that cross. He'd been nailed to that cross. He had been handled by cruel hands, wicked hands. You know, when you get to thinking about it, these evil hands are the ones that made him carry the cross. And they're the ones that held his arms down while they nailed the spikes. And they're the wicked hands and dirty hands of those Roman soldiers. And they drove the spikes. And then it was the final thing. One of the soldiers took his spear and pierced the side of the Son of God. And therewith flowed blood and water. And that's the last time enemy hands will ever touch Jesus Christ. And you can mark that down, Buster. He's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Because after Jesus died on the cross, what happened? Well, they went into loving hands, the loving hands of Joseph of Arimathea. He was a rich man, and he went to Pilate, the governor Pilate, and he begged for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph of Arimathea wanted the body of Jesus so he could give it a decent burial. And he was granted that, and so he took it from the cross. He wrapped it in linen, white linen strips of cloth, swaddling clothes. That's what they did for the corpse. And they would, and the Jewish people had a way of embalming. They poured spices in as they wrapped that wrapping around him. Sometimes they would use 100 pounds of spices for a body. And that's what Joseph was doing. And so there's a wonderful group of Joseph. Yeah, his hands took Jesus, and those evil hands will never touch him again. And then you read about Jesus and saying that he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And Jesus isn't anxious. He isn't screaming. He isn't wild. He isn't terrified. He's just as calm as the day is long. And now he says, everything is completed. All the prophecy has been completed. Nothing else needs to be done. The blood has been shed and salvation is secure. They all have eternal life. And so what does he say? He says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is satisfied. He's completed his mission. He's made the way of salvation. He has the door open. And so people can come. And they can come, and it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter what their sins might be. And one of the things I hear so often, people say, oh, God would never accept me because I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. If I would have been ignorant about it, if I would have not understood it, that would have been one thing. But I knew I was doing sin doesn't make a better difference. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You read the story of Jesus in that holy book, the Bible. You read the stuff from the day he was born until the day he ascended into heaven, and he never, ever turned anybody away. There were people who turned away from Jesus, but he never turned away from them. And you may be a horrible sinner and an awful sinner and wish to God you'd never done those things. I think many of us have done that. I know I would have changed my ways if I would have been just open to the Lord. We all have something and some that are terrible. But what did St. Paul say? He says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the worst sinner that ever lived. Paul is saying, I am the chief sinner. And yet he's saved me, and I'm born again. I'm a child of God. And so this wonderful Jesus is going to die, and he dismissed his spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Matthew Henry writes about this. He dismissed his own spirit in Matthew 27, verse 50. He dismissed his spirit. No one took it from him. He gave up his precious life. No one robbed him of it. No power on earth or heaven or hell could require the life of the Son of God. He never would have died were it not of his own doing. It was his own permission. And so this wonderful Jesus, you know what he could have done? He could have come down from that. He could have stayed on that cross forever if he wanted. He could have come down from that cross. He could have called multitudes, millions of angels to come and set him free. They taunted Jesus and they said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down from the cross? Oh, the stupidity of the sinner so many times. he could have come from that cross, and he, by his breath, he could have wiped every one of them from the face of the earth, this wonderful Jesus. But what does he do? As a lamb to take her shears and dumb, he opened not his mouth. He didn't rail against them. He didn't speak back at them. He didn't preach them a sermon or put them in hell or put a judgment on them or tell them they committed the unpardonable sin or something like that. Nothing like that at all. This wonderful Jesus, he just loved them so much, and he would forgive them. And maybe you today, you drifted away, and you come back like the prodigal son. And when that prodigal son came back, what had happened? Did the father see him coming? He was looking down the road. He saw him coming. And when that prodigal son, what did the father say? You smell like a pig. Go get washed up a little bit. Put some deodorant on and put some right guard on your left side or whatever you were going to do. I don't know. Maybe they don't even sell right guard anymore. I'm so ancient, I wouldn't know. But here is he. What does he do? He puts his arm around his son. He smells. He's still got some. He's been in the pig pen with the pigs, eating those pieces that they don't eat and slobber on. That's what he had to have for breakfast and dinner and supper, all the meals. And he put his arms around. That's what God will do for you. If you come to Jesus and tell Jesus, oh, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Or maybe you knew the Lord and you walked with the Lord. Maybe you were a pastor. When I got a letter from a man who was a pastor, drifted away. You can come back and Christ will receive you. He'll never turn anybody away. And so this wonderful Jesus, he makes this price and he pays the price. And this Jesus talks about this salvation. And he talks about it and he says in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, therefore, my Father doth love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Listen to him. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And Jesus says, I wouldn't have to die. But if I'm going to save your soul, I'll have to die. And I'll pay that price. And for this reason, I came. I came to be that sacrifice. And someone has painted a picture of Mary, Mother Mary. And she's a young lady, and we're a young girl. And she's slender, and she's tall. And she's holding the baby Jesus in her arms. And then there's a light shining, and the light makes a shadow. And on the floor is a shadow of a cross. Jesus had that shadow of the cross all the time. That's why he came. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to pay for our sins, the sins that we committed. But he did it himself. There are people, I read about people who when they die, they say, I commend my spirit unto thyself. But no person really can do that. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus, when he was good and ready, gave up his spirit. You're going to give up your spirit when God calls you. I'm going to give up my spirit when God calls me. Not a minute, not a second early, and not a second late, just on time. And what I'm wondering now, when he calls you, are you ready to meet him? If you're still in your sins, you're going to be in hell. That's what Jesus said. Jesus tells us, he says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you're hearing it, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, you just believe his word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. The moment you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. But he's not done yet. And he says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to eternal life, heaven. John 5:24, it's my favorite verse. Favorite verse. He says, heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, is passed from death unto life. Come to Jesus right now. I know that there will be many that will call on the name of the Lord. Because right now you say, oh, I do want Jesus, but I don't know, how can I believe on him? And I'll tell you how you believe. You just believe what he says. I tell you, I'm 96 years old, and you believe it. And that's all there is. How do you believe that? Well, you hear it and you just believe it. That's all. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Don't make it difficult. Be like the children, and you tell them something and they believe it. And Jesus says, unless you become as a little child, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so you say, dear Jesus, I'm a terrible sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. Dear Jesus, I'm a terrible sinner. And maybe you want to name some of your sins. I don't know. Billy Graham says, if there's some big sin you want to confess, confess it. Confess it to Jesus. I'm a terrible sinner, dear Jesus. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And then I'll follow you the best I can. Now, you won't be perfect. You'll never be perfect. You won't be perfect till you enter the golden gate, the pearly gates. They're not gold. They're huge, beautiful pearls. One pearl makes up a whole gate. And we'll enter the pearly gates. And then when you enter that, then we won't need to worry. Like they ask one old pastor. They says, how long do you think it would be? How it would be, well, for you before you didn't have to worry about sinning? And the old pastor said, oh, I'd say maybe 3 days after I was dead. Old Solomon, wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus, and here he is sinning in his old age. And so you're going to fail him. And when you fail him, you ask him to forgive you. And 1 John 1:9, first chapter and the ninth verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now the dear Lord Jesus will take away your sins. And you say, yes, but I do that, and then I sin again. And how many times will he forgive me? Oh, well, let's say maybe 2 or 3 million times. What did God say? God told us where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My grace is greater than all of your sins. Fall down 100 times, get up 100 times, and never give up, and ask him to forgive you. And God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And that wonderful, wonderful Savior will forgive you. And so I'm praying that right now you come. And I just want to point one thing quickly. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He started out by saying, Father, forgive them for their sins. He closed by saying, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. But the middle of those sins, of those sayings, he didn't say, Father. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't his father then. He was an angry God, and he turned his back on his own son because God will not countenance sin. And don't try to work your way to heaven. That's the most crazy thing. The devil's got more people believing that, but God tells us plain as day in Ephesians, to him that, in Romans, to him that worketh not, but believeth, not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. You can't work your way into heaven. You can only work your way into hell. It comes by believing Jesus. Just take him as your Savior. And you make that prayer. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. And then, when you fail, just ask him to forgive, but keep going. And if when you have those sins, you'll never take your name from the book of life. You belong to the Lord. You're his child no matter what you do. So you walk with the Lord, and you fail, and you ask forgiveness, and you get up, and you keep going. And when you get one sin whipped, and you're not having trouble with that, there'll be something else. There'll always be something to plague you. But you just trust Jesus and love him and trust him and go with it. And I'm praying that multitudes will do that. Now, I want to tell you something that's so wonderful, and that is when we accept Jesus, he says, I'll hold you in my hand. In John chapter 10, he says, and 28 and 29, I hold them in my hand. and they shall never perish. And then he says, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I hold in my hand, God holds my hand, no one will pluck them out of my Father's hand. You can never, the devil can never touch you when you've accepted Jesus. Accept him now. And then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you shortwave people, you know we cover 90% of the world's population through shortwave. We'd love to hear from more of you shortwave people. Maybe you can't send any money, but you can send us a little note. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then I want to tell you about our little Bible study. Every month we have a new Bible study, and this month is about marks of a mature Christian. Are you a baby Christian? Are you growing in Christ? How do you grow in Jesus? And we'll send it free and postpaid. You say, what's the subscription price? Zero. We're going to send it free until we go broke. Then we'll be done. But will you write to us and all of you? Now, I'm going to pray for you. And every week we pray for one of the persecuted Christians in one of the countries. And we're praying for those in Sudan. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that are praying right now for you to come into their heart. Praying for the multitudes that are coming back. They drifted away and they're coming back. Praying for the children that are watching this service. They're praying too. And dear Jesus, I'm praying for them in Sudan, those persecuted Christians. Help them and help them to know that you love them and that you will. I know that you give them grace in time of trouble. Be with those who are shut-ins, Lord. Be with those who are lonely. Be those who are maybe having troubles in the home, whatever it is. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. So there it is now, box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us. God loves you. We love you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. We count it a privilege to worship with you. And oh, you're going to love next Sunday's sermon. Jesus Christ, King of the world, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. I just get thrilled talking about it next week. So you pray and tell your friends. Tell them there's an old guy on there. He's 96 years old. See if he can get through another service, see? And then we'll find out, and then we'll know for sure. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.